The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
The Apostle Paul warned all of us about the troublesome days in which we find ourselves living today. And with that statement in mind, I'd like for you to go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 29, Acts 20 and verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. I want you to go with me now with that thought in mind to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, where we know that we have the term perilous times shall come. And so let's go and read those verses, beginning in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with different or diverse lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest, shall be made known unto all men, as theirs also was. And he's referring back there to Jannes and Jambres, as theirs were. But you have fully known my doctrine. You have fully known my manner of life. You have fully known, I'm reading in words, but this is what he's saying, my purpose, my faith, the persecutions that I have gone through, the afflictions that I have gone, which come upon me at Antioch, in Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, without a doubt, we read these verses, and it says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And with these words, I still think that these words that we read from the Apostle Paul to Timothy should be very helpful to all of us. I mean, after all, in sight of the horrible tragedy that happened this week in Tucson, Arizona, I guess technically it happened last Sabbath, so it was last week, but I know you understand what I'm saying. The Apostle Paul describes the perilous times that are to come and also warns all of us about perilous men and or women that we are to avoid during such times. And brethren, unless we think that Paul's words are only for those of the world, we need to pay more attention. We need to take a closer look at what has been revealed for us here. The first thing that I want to show you that is very plain that we have seen is it says it will be in the last days. Verse 1, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And with that statement in mind, a second point that I want us to understand, and that is since the time of Jesus' death, we have been living in the last days. Therefore, I think it should be very plain to all of us that we should expect to experience the perilous times that Paul was writing about. So today, I'd like for us to take a look at some characteristics of those perilous times. As we read in verses 2 through 5, I'm not going to read those again here, But here are some of the things that we saw. And I'm going to list them out for us, and because I want us to pay attention to what he's actually saying here and see, is there points from here, is there information that we can learn from all of this, even in regards to what happened this week or this past week over in Arizona? Not that I'm wanting to focus on that event of and by itself. But it says, people will be lovers of themselves, they will be boastful, they will be proud, and they will be blasphemers. They will be disobedient to parents. They will be unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. They will be slanderers, without self-control, brutal. They will be despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, and haughty. They will be lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, and they will have a form of godliness, but denying its power. And you may say, now what does all of this have to do with what we're talking about? And what does all this have to do with what we've seen? And how does this have any effect on me? Now, I don't know about you, and I ask you the question, did you hear or read any of these things this week? Well, I know I did. We need to realize, brethren, that here at this point, I am not speaking simply about the shooter. I'm talking about so many people that were involved in all of this in various sides, in various aspects, in various circumstances. We tend to look on as just people who do horrible, horrible things, like go in and take guns and shoot people. Sometimes the perilous times are there. Obviously, that's horrible, but it is also could be things that are done afterwards, things that are stated, things that are brought before the people. And we need to be aware of these kinds of things. So with this in mind, I'd like for you to please go with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 and verse 28, we begin. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And we've talked about reprobate minds before. It means a mind that is void of judgment. In other words, they can't come to the knowledge of the truth because they don't have it. They have a reprobate mind. They're void of judgment, making right decisions in a given circumstance. To do those things which are not convenient, or prayer, or whatever should be done. Or should not be done. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, meaning who should have a workable knowledge and understanding of the things of God, this is what he's implying, that which they commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The Apostle Paul is describing people of that day, and he is saying that the people were filled with all kinds of unrighteousness and evils. All kinds of wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, debate, evil-mindedness, whispers, and it goes on and on and on. Proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. And we saw this list when we were there in Timothy. It's the same kind of list. Paul understood this, and he's describing it, and he's telling the people of God in various congregations and various places, they need to be aware of these things because these things can trap us and bring us into them also, into those kinds of thoughts and thinking. And this is what he's telling us. And it says, and they approved of those who practice those things that are actually worthy of death. And this was written 2,000 years ago. And it could have been something that we heard on a newscast today. So we see the nature of the people back then, and we also can see the nature of people today. We certainly are living in very similar, troublesome times. So therefore, I have a question for us to consider. Should there be an apprehension on our part because we're living in the last days? As a faithful and loving and caring, awesome Father God, that who He is, we are given some instructions or insights by which we are to live. Here are some that I'd like for us to consider, for us to think about, as I believe they are biblical insights. The first one I want us to talk about and bring to mind is there are some people that we are to avoid. Men like Jannes and Jambres. Now, why would there be certain type of people that we should avoid? Well, because this type of person will lead gullible families, and it uses the term women, silly women, into ways that they shouldn't go. Could be in their actions, could be in their thoughts, could be bringing them away from the truth, from the knowledge of the truth, to have wrong concepts about the right principles of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, we read this, but I'm going to read it again. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We can see this through their trickery and through their deceit. This is what he's talking about, creeping into houses, and that's what that's talking about. We also can see it through their appealing to the lust of their victims. And I saw some of this, heard some of this week, in regards to this horrible situation. Was this situation horrible? Of course it was. Do we wish it had never happened? Of course we wish it would have never happened. But I want us to see lessons from it, not so much focus on the tragedy of what it actually was, but some of the other things that happen, because the scriptures are here that we're to learn from this, that we are living in the last days, that we are living in perilous times. And a major point that I see from this, that there are types of people that we should stay away from. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. In other words, they're not sitting back idle. They're doing it. They're going after. They're doing things with intent, whoever these people are. Drop down to verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Now, another thing that we see from this is while their victims are ever learning, they never come to the knowledge of the truth. Please don't misunderstand this. This is not just talking to people in the world. This is also a warning to the church of God. And that's the point that I'm wanting to focus on. And so there's very likely we could be led away with things that people are saying. And that is the point that I'm trying to make here. Let's go back to 2 Timothy this time, chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not escape sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, we know what this is talking about, people who will teach them what they want to hear. They want to hear the words. They surround themselves with people who want to say things, and they want to hear it in that particular way. It's not even a point of whether it's right or wrong. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And it's very plain that it says these people who do these kinds of things, who speak these kinds of words, they themselves resist the truth, and they're compared to Jannes and Jambres. Chapter 3, this is what we read, chapter 3, verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. He's going back to the time of Moses and making a comparison to some people back then to the very same thing of what is happening today. And today is when Paul is writing, and we've already seen that this is the very same thing that's today, because we are living in the last days. From that time forward, it was the last days. Perilous times are come. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest, shall be made known unto all men, as theirs also was, as Jannes and Jambres was also made known. That's the point. Although they are actually not mentioned by name, it is obviously referring back to, at least I think it is obviously referring back to the magicians and the sorcerers who resisted Moses and Aaron. They're not mentioned by name, but Paul mentions them. They're not mentioned back in Exodus chapter 7. They're not mentioned in Exodus chapter 8 by name. Even the Jewish Encyclopedia says that it's an obvious this is who is being referred to. If they were not the only two, they're at least leaders among it who were back there doing these things. And if you're not familiar with it, go back and reread some of these things. You can go back in Exodus chapter 7, Exodus chapter 9, some of the things that they were doing. In fact, we're going to make a comment about some of those in just a little. But here is the point. Those who resist the truth are of corrupt minds, and they are rejected in regard to the faith. Now, this faith that I'm referring to and using that term, that they are rejected in regard to the faith, I'm referring to the whole body of godly truths. Not just faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not that particular word. I'm using the word faith, meaning the entire body of beliefs, truths. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning the faith, have made shipwrecked. This is an interesting phrase. And if you go back and you look under various commentaries that I did, and I went back and I looked under it and said, what are they talking about, made shipwrecked? In other words, they are destroyed, they're gone forever. You know, and most of the commentaries say, well, we don't really know that it's talking about it shipwrecked, meaning that they're gone forever, because Paul himself was shipwrecked 3 or 4 times. And obviously, he survived, and he still holds on to the truth. And so they're not sure that that's what he's talking about. And I'm not real sure that they're talking about that putting away concerning faith have made shipwreck. But I think that it is referring to, I think, what I believe this verse is talking about here, is that they have shipwrecked. They have put it on the ground. They have run it up on the beach. They have run it up on rocks, the truth of God. I think it's more of that kind of thinking, that they've done this, who have put away concerning faith, they've made it shipwrecked, they've crashed it. Verse 20, of whom is, and then he names 2 people that have done this. And you can go back into Timothy, and you can see that Hymenaeus and Alexander, the Alexander, some are thinking this is probably talking about Alexander the coppersmith, because he's the only other Alexander mentioned. But he goes on and he says, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. In other words, there's the people that are saying things that are not truthful according to the faith, according to the whole truth of God. And they presented it as being truth, and Paul is showing they were not, and they've been put away. They've been put out because of this, and we need to learn from that. Now let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And we can see from all of these verses that we've been reading, especially those here in Timothy, we can see that their folly, as it refers to in one place, or their foolishness, is eventually going to become evident to all. Just like what happened to Jannes and Jambres, or just like what happened to the Egyptian magicians if it is Jannes and Jambres. And I have certainly believed that's what this is referring to. For example, in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 12, it says, "For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods." It's foolishness on their part to think that they can go up against God. They think they're doing the right things, and God is showing them. No, and this is foolishness. Chapter 8, this is in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 18. "And the magicians did so with their incantations to bring forth lice, but they could not, so there were lice upon men and upon beasts." They couldn't do it. It shows their foolishness to deal with God or to be dealing with things that are truth. And this is what Paul is referencing back over in Timothy for us to take a look at and to see that. And one more, Exodus 9 and verse 11. "And magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians." They tried to deal with them and get rid of them, and wind up they got them also. And so again, it shows they're going to be revealed. These people who do these kinds of things in the last days, they're going to be revealed just like Jannes and Jambres was. That's what he's showing. And here we can see just a, in three verses that we read, how their foolishness was revealed. We also see from Timothy that people like this are going to grow worse, deceiving and being deceived. Let's go back to 2 Timothy again, this time chapter 3 and verse 13. 3 verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." There's warnings in all of these verses that we're not to get involved in all of this. We're not to be paying attention to a lot of these kinds of things because it's very possible could lead us astray. This is what the warning is. This is why we're told that we're living in the last days, and this is what they're going to be like. If it couldn't bother us because we're part of the body of Jesus Christ and we have the Holy Spirit, and so therefore it can't bother us, why do we need to know it? The fact is, we're seeing very plain, it can affect us. And we need to be aware. This is what we're seeing here. It goes on and it says, "Their profane and idle babblings." I like the New International Version better. It says, "godless chatter." We lead to more ungodliness. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16. "But shun or avoid profane and vain babblings," or godless chatter, "for they will increase even unto more ungodliness." They're going to increase, and it's just going to still taking people more and more away from God or in an ungodly manner. And we're to be warned, it's going to happen, and we're not supposed to be involved in this. We shouldn't be involved in this. And it also tells us that their messages will spread like cancer. Verse 17, "And their words will eat as a canker," or as a cancer. Now, we know what a canker is, a worm, meaning it's eating through, but I think in the more today we would understand it, it would be more like a cancer was eating. And again, I like the New International Version because it says, "And their words will eat as does gangrene." That's the word it uses. It just eats away and eats away and eats away. "Of whom is," and he names two people again. So we can go back and we can see, we can know this, we can have this information. What I've come to see, and I think that I'm safe in saying this, it sounds like many of our politicians today, or many of our television evangelists today. But we tend to get so wrapped up, we as humans, as people, we tend to get so involved in some of these kinds of happenings that we miss the point that we could be taken away from the truth of God as a result of it. And that's why I'm using this. This is why I'm talking about this. Because they are not people like Paul. They are not people like the Apostle Paul. Or they are not people like a true believer is to be. a person whose teachings and manner of life is easily followed because it follows the Bible. And we need to see that. We need to grasp it. We need to understand that. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. But you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. He says, I'm somebody that you know, somebody that you can see how I've lived my life. Don't be involved. Don't get wrapped up in these other kinds of people and get hoodwinked into thinking that what they're saying is good, whenever the reality is it could be taking us away from the truth of God. That's what he's warning us. Paul warned the Corinthians. They were encouraged to do the same thing. I'll show you that. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. 1 Corinthians 4, 17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. I'm saying the same thing to all the people. This is what he's saying. And Timothy's going to come there and he's going to show you this. He's going to show you what I've been teaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Just like he told the Corinthians, they were encouraged to do the same things and to hear these things in that way. Paul did the same thing to the Philippians over in Philippians 3 and verse 17. Philippians 3 and verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. He's talking about those whose purpose and faith and long-suffering and love and perseverance is well documented. That you know where they're getting it from. You know they're getting it from living the holy way of life, you know, as we are told that we are to do. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. But you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life and purpose and faith and long-suffering, charity and patience. As this is true for the Apostle Paul, we also can see that Peter was also known to be that, and Paul, just like Peter, also knew that he was going to face an unnatural death because of his beliefs. Paul knew that. He says, I'm waiting. I'm ready. I know it's going to happen. My time is short. Peter tells us basically the same thing. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Now, he showed him this some 30-something years earlier. You know, whenever they were out and fishing, and then he brings them in and tells them to cast on the other side, and they're walking about. And he tells Peter, he said, feed my sheep. And he tells him, he says, when you're converted, do these things. Take care of the people. But you know what manner of death you're going to die. You're going to die as a persecution because of your living this godly way of life. What it is we see an incredible contrast between men like Paul and Peter and many false speakers or teachers today. Brethren, I think without a doubt, I think it should be very clear that we are living in the last days. Many people today are certainly just like those described by Paul. We can look at this tragic event and we can see that. Whether it be the shooter or whether it be some comments from people after the events. Because they're all described here. And that's what we have to take caution about. And so we understand that we are living in the last days. False teachers are flourishing. And I mean a teacher here. I mean a person who gets up and he or she gets up and speaks as if they have knowledge. And it's going to continue to flourish. It's going to get more and more, just like Jesus Christ, just like the Apostle Paul, and just like others in the Bible have warned us, that they're going to happen. And so we need to be aware that we truly are living in perilous times. And with that, there is also an abundance of perilous men and women. People who will take us away from the knowledge of God if we allow them to do so. Because we are like, in the scriptures, these silly women. And I know they're also silly men. And so whenever he says that, I think he's just using that so that we could see it. You know, I think that's what it was. He's not talking that men can't do the same thing. They can, and they do, and they have. So here's a question for us to consider. How will we survive living in the last days? How are we going to survive living in the last days? I want to simply state for you as a summation of what we've actually seen, 3 points. Number one is by avoiding those who reject the truth and lead astray by appealing to our fleshly desires. And a person can be taking you away from the truth because they never knew it. But they still could be taking us away from the truth. And so it could be very, it doesn't have to be somebody who considers themselves part of the body of Jesus Christ. It could be, but it could be others as well. So number one is by avoiding those who reject the truth and lead astray by appealing to our fleshly desires. Number two, by carefully following the teachings and the manner of life of men and women like Paul and Peter. Look for people who are like that. Follow that kind of an example. And number three, by being aware, it may mean persecution. Paul and Peter serve as an example. They lived an incredible godly way of life in the last days. And the end result was they died for it. And so number three is we need to be aware that it may mean persecution, and also that we need to be aware, even with that, that our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ will deliver his faithful disciples. That's what he has said. That's what we have seen. So I conclude with a question. Who are we going to follow in these times in which we live? What voices are we going to listen to? And the Aaronic blessing? And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Brethren, we are so blessed to be part of the body of Jesus Christ.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.